Hi, my name is Kelly Jean-Philippe, host of the Miscarriage Dads podcast and proud ambassador of the Still Parents podcast. In this episode, we look back at the importance of self-care and the different ways in which lost parents, myself included, manage our state of mind, not only during Baby Loss Awareness Week, but every day of the year. Day one.
Baby loss doesn't stop. Baby loss doesn't discriminate. There are going to be people who are now experiencing their first Baby Loss Awareness Week because they've lost within the last year.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the thing about it, the speed of it, right?
Yeah.
Speed of baby losses, we say all the time.
But also we say it about this year, when we do it next year, there's going to be people as well. There's people out there in the world that haven't gone through this shit yet.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's actually quite weird when you think about it like that.
Yeah. And also what I'd add to that is the difference in how losses occur. So some people sadly may be going through something at the moment that they might they're thinking about having to make a decision.
Yeah.
Around a pregnancy, or it could happen, you know, fairly similar to me and what happened to me and Ryan in the speed of everything and how quickly everything all of a sudden turned. So that's the thing as well. There's a difference in every loss.
Yeah.
That word loss is the thing that ties it all in.
I wasn't even aware that this week existed until I became friends with you guys and got immersed in the world that you live in every single day and we started doing this. So
it's interesting.
That's the kind of irony there because it's an awareness week I wasn't aware of until I met the people who don't need the awareness week because you live it.
I was also a bit of a dickhead 22 years ago.
Is he still a bit of a dickhead?
Well, I was going to say, just 22 years.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Honestly, like, 20... you see?
Well, we're all dickheads. 20, I don't mind
22,
it,
22 years ago, like...
Yeah.
Just, how old were you, Matt?
Fuck's sake, what are you doing that for? 18.
Yeah. Tell us one bad thing you did when you were 18.
I can't. My parents might be listening.
And
probably not.
Yeah. 4 years old now.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm still scared of my mom.
What are they going to do? Ground you?
Yeah. I can't remember, mate, to be fair.
You can't remember?
Probably can.
Yeah.
I was 20.
Yeah.
So what was I doing in 2002?
Japan World Cup.
Japan World Cup. I do remember watching that.
Yeah.
So when David Seaman got lobbed.
Lobbed by Ronaldinho. Sort of,
I still can't say that sentence without being immature.
Yeah,
Seaman got lobbed.
Seaman got lobbed.
By Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
2002, that was the year I got married.
Wow.
Fuck off. Sorry, really?
Normally people say congrats. Not
no, congratulations, yeah, but like, really? Bloody hell.
That's what Lena says when I remind her.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We've been married 22 years. Fuck off.
Day two.
William Ellis. Welcome back, William.
Pleasure to be here. For me, Baby Loss Awareness Week, it's not only is it a way to kind of remember and come together with other grieving parents, it's a way to remind people outside of that, you know, you're still going through something, you're processing, and you're still hurting, and you are still grieving. People always talk about an unconditional love for a child who, you know, may be very young or maybe in utero. I like the idea of grief for the loss of a child also being it's an unconditional grief. I mean, grief is unconditional, I suppose, but that idea that it's a slightly broader form of grief than you know, losing a parent or losing someone who has lived. You have no blanks to fill in, and therefore all the life that you had imagined or had wished for, you're grieving for unconditionally. So in a way, it's a different, for me, it's a different process, grieving a baby to grieving someone close to you who may die. But grief is grief, you know, and you can't compare, you can't suggest anyone's grief is greater than anyone else's because it all hurts, it's all relative. But I like that idea of unconditional love for a child means unconditional grief for a baby that's gone. And so Baby Loss Awareness Week is a reminder to those people who you know or who are browsing social media that day that something really matters and something's really important, and that keeps the memory of your loss alive. And I've grown to like that. I've grown to enjoy grief. I've grown to enjoy that sort of guttural feeling of loss. It's interesting though how grief changes, because it doesn't for certainly so far for us. We lost Dash in 2017. But I remember this year, his birthday was one of the hardest for me, bizarrely, besides year one, that I can remember, and it took me completely by surprise. Mm. And I just spent the day quite literally in bed, just feeling terrible. But compared to previous years, where it's been an event for his birthday, it's felt like it is being sort of diluted in a slightly different way. But this year, for some reason, you know, and I felt that was very cathartic because it needed to happen. There's, you know, I've been holding that grief in my body somewhere or something. And I think Baby Loss Awareness Week, and my point being, is that as time goes on, it becomes a time for release, for sharing, not dissimilar to, you know, Memorial Days for, you know, the fallen, or for or for other sort of occasions when people come together, because there is grief is held in your body in so many different ways, and therefore if there are public occasions when you are able to release it, then I think that's very cathartic and very healthy for all parents, no matter what stage of the journey they're on.
I was very keen to bring this up, William, because I
know what you can say it.
Yeah, I think William knows as well. I was very keen to bring this up because we've shared this story with people, and you've shared it obviously publicly. It was when you broke your hand punching your fridge, because but originally that was self care, because you got into this game, didn't you, right? And that was self care.
I'm glad glad you clarified that, because punching isn't self care.
Give me some context behind it. Yeah, William,
for the sake of the audience, here's a quick clip of his story.
Right.
I broke my hand punching a fridge.
Oh, fucking hell.
I just lost a game of Clash of Clans. And I was so angry. That's what tipped me over the edge.
I
punched the fridge and I broke the bones in my hand.
That's mad.
And I never said that publicly until now, because it's deeply embarrassing.
Originally, that's self-care, right? Because it's something that takes you away a little bit, I suppose, removes you from reality a little bit, you know, and allows you to...
Well, it's a release.
You process things as well differently, right? Is that... I'm assuming that was the case.
It was, and I think, you're holding... I was holding a lot of anger at that
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was triggered by a stupid game I was playing.
14-year-old Specky Twat, you called him. I remember that.
It was something like that. Yeah. And I, but it was the culmination. I mean, my Dash was an IVF baby. And we were then going into another round of IVF. We changed clinics, and the clinic sort of put all these demands on us literally overnight, of like diet change and all sorts of pills that we need to take. It was going to cost a fortune on top of, you know, the money that we were already paying them, which was eye-watering enough. So there I was, trying to shut the world out, and some Specky Twat, gave me a thumbs up for having beaten me on some stupid game.
Clash of Clans.
And that's what tipped me over the edge, you know. But obviously, when you look at it objectively, you can see the bigger picture. Whereas in that moment, it just felt like I was reacting to some Clash of Clans game, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. It's so embarrassing.
But the big picture, I think it's so relatable for people too, because that's real life. So that's what happens.
Oh, it is. Yeah. No, it is. And it's, like I said, self-care comes from everywhere. But again, it comes back to doing what you need to do at the point to help you.
Precisely.
That's it, right? Yeah. It is. It is.
Day 3.
All the way from Australia, please welcome back Matt McConnell.
Hello, gents. How are we going? For self-care... Most of the time, I think for the last 2.5 years, my self-care has evolved it used to be to what it is now. I think it changed a lot, and it's taken me 2.5 years to figure out what works best. Like, I used to swim in the ocean when I felt rough. I haven't done that now for quite a while. I find self-care for me is talking to other dads and finding someone that you can just have a good, honest conversation with. Any day of the week, and that's self-care, is just having that outlet to talk.
We see that a lot with you, because you're very busy on social media. We can drop a message, just if you see you online, saying hi, and you'll just reply, you know. You can see that. I just
sit on my phone, you know, all the time, just smashing out messages. Nothing better to do.
but in a good way. Really, lots of people do that, but just moan constantly, don't they? Wow. But yeah, you've got that good energy about you.
Yeah, and I live a good life now. I'm happy, but I do take a lot of care of myself too. Probably a little bit too much when it comes to self-care sometimes.
Steady.
Depends how you want to edit. How do we want to edit this?
It's going to be a tricky edit. Well, you know, we always say, you know, we are a bunch of boys in here and sometimes we can be a bit immature, and we've just proved it. As we always say, we talk a lot of bollocks, but it helps us to illustrate the point we want to get to.
Day four.
Andy Horsley. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you very much.
I found it really interesting that one of your main way of self-care is...
Was and still is. I'm very lucky. I've got a great group of mates online. I've been a gamer since I was, 13?
Brilliant.
Now 34, so...
Really?
Yeah, should probably grow up at some point. But it worked.
No!
Never do.
Do you also think it was easier talking when you weren't face-to-face with people?
I was just about to say exactly the same thing.
Okay, because that's the first thing that hit me was like... You're not sitting in a room or with people, right? So
there's definitely an element
a safe
of
place.
That. Yeah, 100%. There's definitely an element of that. We made a point, especially through COVID, of putting our cameras on Discord.
Okay.
Every night, so every night that we connect, we'd make sure we put our cameras on so we could see other people's faces. Because when we were cooped up in our own house, we didn't see anyone except our people who lived with us. So that really helped. That brought us all together a bit more. We could see the emotion when people were upset. It's a bit different, a bit more like face to face. But you're right. When you've got that barrier between real life, that escapism, you feel like you can open up more. You feel protected, you feel less exposed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. So how often would you, to get you through the period you went through, how often would you be online playing games?
Every night.
Literally every night.
Yeah. So I didn't sleep very well. As
3, 4 a.m.?
It depends, really, because I was working as well at the same time. Yeah. Most of the time, I couldn't sleep. And if I couldn't sleep, there's no point in me lying in bed. Being in those thought tunnels. The guys are often online. There's one or two of them online. So I'll just hop online. We'll just have a chat.
Day five.
Please welcome back on Paula and Stuart Parnaby. Hello, hello.
Hi. All right, the lads.
What do you two do within the week then? Let's say Baby Loss Awareness Week. Is there anything that you do specifically to almost switch off at the end of the day when you get home from work, or if you've had a bit of a bad day? Is there anything that you specifically do which other people might listen and say, oh, actually, I've never tried that before, I might try that now?
We're big walkers and talkers, aren't we? we just get out in the fresh air. We still do that now, walk and talk. And I think it's that thing, isn't it, of one of you's having a good day, one of you isn't, you don't want to upset anyone. There's that thing of, when you're walking, you're both facing that way. And sometimes it's the easiest way of having really tough conversations. You're not having to sit looking at somebody and eye to eye. You can have those conversations that maybe you wouldn't normally. Or
I think it comes off the map from my side. I was never a big walker. I was never bothered about walking until after we lost Poppy and I started doing photography a bit.
Okay.
Going on big walks to find spots to do some early morning stuff or night stuff.
Like on a mobile, for instance, or did you actually buy a proper camera?
No, I bought a lot. Yeah.
He doesn't do things by half. He's all in.
Walking is even a tool for me when Paula's not here. I love walking now. Mm. You're not sat on your ass. You don't just scroll through your phone getting deeper and deeper into the pit of feeling I can't be asked today.
If you
go up and go for a walk for 20 minutes, you just feel miles better.
Yeah.
I just think exercise helps get your head clear, get the endorphins going.
No, I totally agree.
Well, it's that benefit. Yeah. We've mentioned it so many times, isn't it? That benefit of exercise.
And being
out there. I've jokingly said, because I don't know what it is, but when you're out walking, exactly what Paul has said, it just seems easier to communicate, almost as if any time that I know my wife's not happy with me about something, and when you know an argument's coming, and it's okay, can I somehow get her for a walk?
What, every day?
Because so we're doing quite a lot.
Are you getting in 50,000 steps a day?
Yeah, mate.
Day six,
the wonderful and the brilliant Kelly Jean-Philippe, all the way from Philadelphia in the United States of the USA.
Well done.
How are you, sir?
Doing all right. I'll give a brief story about a recent time when I realized I needed some form of self-care. So my youngest son, Eden, is a year and a half. And about, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 months after he was born, I realized that if I didn't seek for help in some way, shape, or form, then I was going to end up harming my relationship with my oldest son, Juki. I was not showing up as the best version of myself to my wife. And I just felt personally that I was jumping off of the deep end. So one day I just got into a private room at home and I pulled out my insurance card. I called a number in the back and I spoke with a representative and I said, I need you to send me a list of therapists in my area who accept this insurance. And these are the criteria.
Okay.
And I was sent that list. I wasn't very discriminate about who it was. As long as it met criteria A, B, and C, I was fine with that.
Okay.
And I got in touch with a therapist for the first time in my life. And so over the course of the last year and a half of Eden's life, there's been moments where that relationship has ruptured with my therapist, not ruptured, interrupted
okay.
with my therapist.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in the times when I'm not going to therapy, man, I'm reverting back to some really bad mental habits. I realize that emotionally I've become more short and don't have as much reserve for my family. And this is something that happened recently as of like the last 3 months. And so I reconnected with my therapist again. And this time around is for the purpose of maintaining a more consistent relationship with her, because I do notice the difference between when I'm in therapy and I have that space to process my emotions, to freely express whatever it is I need to freely express. And when I'm not doing that, and the consequences are just too much for me to not take that seriously. So I think that would be the most important version of self-care that I would promote to anyone is find a therapist, find a counselor, find a life coach, you know, endow a best friend with special powers to listen to you. Like, I don't care. Just find someone who's willing to listen and who you can trust and share all sorts of things with, because we all need that space to just unload whatever it is we're inputting on ourselves or life is inputting on us. My drive home can be an hour long, depending on the heavy flow of traffic. And while most people might be upset because it's like, I want to get home after a long day of work, I take that time to just chill.
You're right, you know.
I'm either listening to stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm either, you know, silence and I'm not listening to music or anything. And I just have the windows down if it's nice enough. I have a car with a sunroof, so I'm always having the sunroof either open all the way or tilted for some fresh air. And I'm not in a rush to get home because I need that time to just decompress. And then when I get home and I park my car and I go in, say hi to the kiddo, say hi to the wife, and then I go sit on the throne.
You for said a good this
15
yes.
minutes.
Yeah, you said this before. Yeah, man. Yeah, I thought you was leading up to that, man.
And
I love it.
Every male listening to this right now is going, yep, that's what we do.
Mine's in the morning. Mine's morning.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with sitting on the throne.
Absolutely.
Day 7. The global wave of light.
My name is Dan, here with Ryan and Matt from the Lily May Foundation. How are we? We get sick of each other doing our mini episodes.
Buongiorno.
Yeah.
Hello, mate.
Today is the International Wave of Light.
Do you know the mad thing, though? Sorry, you were just saying there about International Wave of Light. It's International Wave of Light, but we've obviously spoken with Kelly.
Yeah.
Over in America, and they don't have a baby loss awareness week.
But he knows of this day, don't
But
they?
He knows of this day, which is mad because, like, the International Wave of Light is there to mark the end of Baby Loss Awareness Week.
Yeah.
Yet in America, they don't have Baby Loss Awareness Week, but they have the International Wave of Light. It's nuts.
Now, as we discussed at the very start of the week, there'll be people, unfortunately, who, since we did these episodes last year, now find themselves fully in it. Can you remember your first time with Baby Loss Awareness Week and your first International Wave of Light? Can you talk us through your day?
Well, I tend to light the candle with a lighter.
Good. Yeah.
He's such a knob, isn't he?
Yeah.
Every now and then I use a match.
Like, he's still going as well.
Should know now. Any weakness, anything.
Huh? What did I ask?
Anything.
How do you like the candle?
Right.
Think, Dan. Come on, man.
If this is the first year for you that you are experiencing the loss of your child and your first time with Baby Loss Awareness Week, have you got any final thoughts to offer people who are at the start?
I suppose I'd say a couple of things in the sense of, I still light a candle for Callie. I still go up and light that candle for Callie. And I, even now, like, I still find it very emotional, that point where I light the candle and I'm 8 years down. So it's just to kind of allow parents to understand that within the public setting, whatever, if you are lighting that candle, it's fine to be emotional. Yeah. It's fine to show those emotions, right? The other thing as well is just that, really, and I say every year that once midnight hits on the 15th, or sorry, today, it's not over. Yeah. You know, parents live it, as you've keep rightly pointing out, they live it every day.
Yeah.
So just keep remembering your babies, keep thinking about them, and don't think that just because midnight comes, you can't keep talking about them. That's a big thing for me, I think.
I think Matt has pretty much hit the nail on the head, really. If there's any advice I would offer, it's don't be afraid to reach out support, even if you think you don't need support.
Yeah.
Because you may very well find, when you speak to people who have been in this shit show for however many years, that they might just open a box somewhere that enables you to be able to help yourself.
The Still Parents Podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.